Father, again tonight, we thank you for your love and grace. Lord, we just ask that for each and every one that's come this way, that they might be blessed in some fashion. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word and look at a portion of it. Lord, we realize and understand the greatness of your word and the truth that you've left for us, and where would we be without it? Lord, we just want to say thank you again for preserving it for us, and that we have it to look at, to ponder over, and we ask for guidance and understanding in this hour. Thank you again for that great love that you sent to us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us that we could not do for ourselves. Ask you to guide us and watch over us in this hour. Thank you again for the opportunity. Thank you for your great love. And thank you for that grace that we always feel in our mind and in our hearts. And we just now thank you so much for all that you do. Guide and bless. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Okay. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And we're going to continue our studying that we started quite a little while ago in the word walk. And, you know, it's kind of sporadic where it is in the scripture, and we started off in the Old Testament, and we're not going to try to hit everyone, as I said to begin with, but we wanted to get the ones that seemed to have that great importance, and I know and realize that all of them have great importance, but it seems like quite often we kind of get hung up on some of the words that we study and realize that God is expecting out of us and always has expected out of man a way of life that would be pleasing to him. Although we realize that the enemy came into the world, or was already here, and that the enemy made it really tough, because he got to Adam and Eve to begin with, and so we were all came under this sinful curse that was placed upon the earth and upon humankind. But glory be to God, we have a way to overcome this. God has always provided, and we're going to look at a little bit of that tonight. And I want to go continue on in our study, but we want to leave Samuel and go tonight to Kings. You know, we got involved in Samuel because basically of Samuel and the situation with the chief priest and his children, and of course also in Samuel was where they asked for a king, and it wasn't time for God to provide the king that he had promised, but yet God told Samuel to give him a king and tell him what, how things were going to be. And so he did. And they turned out pretty much exactly the way he said they would. And so Saul reigned 40 years in Israel as being the first king. And then You know, young David was anointed king, and he took over after the 40 years of Saul, and he reigned for 40 years. And of course, he and Saul were became great enemies. And the word tells us that the Spirit left Saul and went to dealing with David, and of course, this created great problems between Saul and David. And then after David's reign, we get over in the Kings where Solomon takes over for David. So this was where I wanted to start tonight in 1 Kings chapter 2. And this is study 20, dealing with walk. And for the hope sake of the tape, this is January the 28th, 2015. And so we find that in the very middle of David's reign, he had a son named Solomon, and Solomon was God's choice for the replacement of David when David came to his end. And so David had been reigning for 20 years when Solomon was born. And Solomon reigned for 40 years. So, you know, we started in the timeline, if you get in the years, with Saul, it started with 1,000 years B.C., and he reigned for 40 years down to 960 B.C., and from 960 to 920, it was David's turn. And so Solomon is going to go from 920 to 880 B.C. So we're moving on down toward when the true king was to come. And so this is where we are, but there's some things that went on here as David was about to die that we need to look at a little bit, because I think sometimes we fail to see all these things. And so if you're with me, we're going to be on page 450, I'm sorry. Getting to where I can't see too good, so excuse that. 450. 2 Kings 2. We're going to look at verse 1. And then we're going to go to the book of Joshua for a little bit. And then from there, I want to go back to Genesis and Deuteronomy. And then back to Joshua, and then back to 1 Kings 2. So there's some charges here that had been made, and we need to look at those as we go along. So let's start off and read verse 1 of 2 Kings 2, if you will, with me. It said, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, say." And so what he says here is not something new. And there has been charges at least three times that I know of so far in the Word of God, where God has charged people as he chose them for a particular task. And so here, the days of David drew nigh, and he realized that he was nearing the end of his life. And so he realized that God's choice was Solomon, and that certainly there was a charge that Solomon needed to have and needed to be refreshed in his mind about this charge. So turn with me to page 291, and let's look in the first chapter of Joshua. Because, you know, this is one of the later ones up to this point that we can go to, but we want to go back and look at these three or four, and it won't take but a few minutes to do it, and I think it's well worth our time to do it. So turn back with me to page 291 into the Joshua 1, if you will. In the Joshua 1. And in Joshua 1, we find that the first four or five verses here are things that Joshua found out from the Lord concerning Moses and concerning his situation with Moses. So let's look at verses 1 through 5, if you will, in Joshua 1 for just a minute. It said, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying." So Joshua was the minister of Moses, and certainly he was no stranger to the Lord. And, you know, he was one of the spies that went into the land way back. And so the association was there and has been there, and Joshua is a certainly a servant of the Lord, one that the Lord can use. He said in verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." So again here, it seems like Joshua is being told by the Lord, as others have been told by the Lord, to arise, to get up, and walk. And you know, this is basically the subject of our study. And so we realize in verse 1 that the appointment over the people of Israel has been made. And so verses 2, 3, and 4 is about this walk that they're going to take, and we're going to go back and look at history. This history needs to be rehearsed for Joshua. And so let's look at 3 and 4. It said, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses." So whenever they cross over in the Jordan and go in the Jordan, this is the land that they were promised by God, and it was promised to Moses and the people. But now Joshua is taking Moses' place, and it's certainly a chore from Joshua's eyes. It said, "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun of the west shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." And there is a little note that has been placed, I think, in the Companion Bible. and it, at least it is in mine, it says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And this is taken from other places where this has been mentioned. So he is telling him that there wouldn't be any man able to stand against Joshua or to hinder his work all the days of his life. And he says, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. So, you know, we got a change of the guard here, but Jehovah is still Jehovah, and he is still on the job, and he is still doing his job. But let's go back and look at these things here that were made, and I'd like for you to go back with me to Genesis 28. That's on page 41, if you have a companion Bible. And sometimes I realize that people, some do not use the companion Bible, but that's okay. But quite a lot of you do, I'm sure. And so we're going to look at Genesis 28, and we're going to look at 10 through 15 in Genesis 28. And we're dealing here with Jacob. And I think we all probably remember the dream that where Jacob was, and the dream that he had, and the ladder that the top of it reached to heaven, and this is the place, this is the thing. But there is a reason for that. And it said, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, in verse 11, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place, and he put them for his pillow, and lay down in that place to sleep. I certainly hope he had a cushion or something, because I've laid on rocks, and that's not very comfortable. So he laid down, and he said, and he dreamed. Well, this is not an unusual event either, because there's 20 places in the Word of God where men have dreamed, and the dream was caused by the Lord. And here, this is no different. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it, or on the ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So here is the promise of the seed being perpetuated or going on or continuing. And he says to Jacob, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and the south. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And here is the charge, if you will. He says, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And so the charge here is made to Jacob, and of course, the next verse says Jacob awakened out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in his place, and I knew in this place, and I knew it not. Well, but he tells him that he is with him, and he'll keep him, and he'll take care of them, and he'll bring them into this land, and he'll not leave them. So that is the first charge that we find in Scripture made, of course, to Jacob. And then we get over to Deuteronomy, and I'd like for you to look with me at Deuteronomy, just one verse in Deuteronomy 4, but then we want to go to Deuteronomy 31. So let's go and turn to Deuteronomy 4, that's on page 245. Deuteronomy 4, 31. And I give you just a minute to get there if you're not there already, because it's just one verse in Deuteronomy 4. And the first part of this verse is in parentheses. It is a parenthetical insertion, and it's there for our understanding. It says, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." So, it kind of like magnifies what he had said to Jacob and what we've already read about Joseph, up to a point, because we're going to go back, not to Joseph, but to Joshua, I'm sorry. And we're going to read a few more verses there in Joshua. But it continues on page 281, if you have a Strong's, or a companion Bible. I'm sorry, my mind's trying to get ahead of it tonight. Well, turn with me to Deuteronomy 31, and let's look at verses 6 through 8. Deuteronomy 31. And I didn't mark that in my Bible, so I'm having to look for it, too. Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8. And this is, of course, Jehovah talking to Moses. 6 through 8, page 281. And he tells it, "To be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is he that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." So you see someone kind of added that on over there where we read it a while ago in Joshua. And it said, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." And so this is Joshua's charge, and this is one reason why I wanted to go there first, because the theme of the book of Joshua is the people getting their promise that God made to them. And God is true to his promise. He's yea and amen. And he is, so he made it, and he's going to keep it. Verse 8, "And the Lord, he it is that goeth before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, or neither be dismayed." So this was what Moses was telling Joshua when he realized that he wasn't going to get to go into the land, but that Joshua was going to finish the job that he had started or appointed, that it was not him to go there. And so we see here that a charge has been made by Moses also, and of course then the Lord confirmed it in the book of Joshua. And this is what we've been reading, and this is what I wanted you to see and to realize that this was the way that it was laid out. This was God's plan and purpose, and surely it was going to be done just that way. So turn back with me to Joshua 1 again, page 291, and we'll pick up and go on with verse 6 down through verse 9. And this seems to be the same words that Moses spake, and then again now the Lord is speaking. He says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So he says to be strong. That's in the Strong's 2388, and of a good courage. And that 2388 is Kozak in the Hebrew, and it means to fasten upon or to seize. So, and it means to have power and the ability to use that power. So he says to be strong and of good courage. You know, don't falter. Use that power as an ability for yourself, because it's been given to you to complete your mission. And it says, 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And he says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. So he says, that word only there in verse 7 is certainly a kind of a clincher, if you will, because that was what God wanted him to have on his mind while they were going into the land and while they were taking the land. This was the job at hand. This was what he was chosen for, this and this only. Yes, he took Moses' place, but certainly there was this chore was going to take place regardless. And he says there, thou mayest observe, be strong and very courageous again. That ability that he had this power and ability, and he says that you may observe. and that observing is to take heed or do or observe to do as per the law. You know, Moses was given the law, and it was given for a reason, and certainly Joshua was not to turn away from the law. He was to stay right with it. He was not to go to the right of it or to the left of it, but that he was to keep it very much in front of him, that he might prosper wherever he went. And that is to deal wisely, because what God was giving him was giving him the ability and the wisdom to carry out the work that he had been chosen to do for these folks, for these people, for this nation, if you will. And then he says in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So, it's almost like the Lord Jehovah is telling Joshua to get into this book of the law and to thoroughly understand these five books that we find in our Holy Bible. And they're dealt with in the Old Testament as one book, really, as we get involved, because it is a continual outworking that God wants man to have and wants man to know in that day and age. And of course, he is talking about Joshua and Joshua's mouth. So, what is spoken according to the law, Joshua is to continually speak of it and to use it. And so how can you speak of it and use it if you don't know it? So you've got to know what it says. You've got to know what it means. And certainly it seems like he had a lot of homework to do. And he says to meditate on it, or to talk to thyself. And there's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. I know, if you're by yourself, it doesn't bother anybody. But sometimes if you're in a crowd, it bothers other folks. But he wanted Joshua to make sure in his heart that he was right and that he was following the law down to the letter. And he said, and there's another part of this verse that says, "Make thy way," in verse 8, "thou shalt make thy way prosperous." And certainly this was God's will for the work that Joshua was to do, because it was chosen for him to complete. And he wanted him to be prosperous in it. He wanted him to allow all of the children of Israel to have what they had been promised. And certainly this was a great job. And Joshua understood that it was a great undertaking. He said in verse 9, here's the question, "Have I not commanded thee?" So he says, "Have I not chosen you and set things in order? Have I left anything out?" Probably is what entered my mind. Have I left anything out? Is there something you don't understand? He says, "Be strong and of good courage." Again, this is the third time, in a sense, that this has been used. So he says, "Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest." So dismayed is 2865, and it means to prostrate or to break down. And it can be by violence, It can be by fear or it can be by confusion. You know, all these things dismay us from time to time as human beings, and when we kind of let the old man have residence, a lot of times this gets in our way. The violence around us, or the fear around us, or confusion around us, gives us a sense of not being strong in the Lord. And that's what he wanted Joshua to do, to be strong, because he wasn't going to leave him. He was going to be with him. Okay, so we went down through the charge here in Joshua. So let's go back to 1 Kings 2, page 450, and pick up with verse 2 again, because you're going to see some of the same words here that we've already went over. So, you know, this is about the fourth time that the charge is going to be made here, because a new young man is going to be in charge. And these are perilous times, because David had hardships all through his reign. He reigned 7 years in Hebron. He reigned 33 years in Jerusalem. We'll find that out in a minute. But he still had a lot of people that were against him. And some he could work with, and some that he couldn't, and some that he did work with. But he's here telling his son, Solomon, to get even with some of them. And we won't get involved too much in that, because, you know, when we begin to read a lot of this stuff here in Kings, it is not very fine reading, but yet it happened as historical events goes. And so let's go back to 1 Kings 2:2. And 2:2 says, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. So he realizes that he's going to go the way of all the earth. Death came early on. And so we all have been born under this death situation. And that's just the way it is. And the way it came about. But, you know, for those who believe, there's certainly a way out. But to those that do not, death is death. Though it says to be strong, and we've seen that before, and that's to be resolute. And the word resolute there, I guess, is an English word, and it means having a fixed, strong purpose for something. You know, if something, and my grandmother and grandfather always told me as a child growing up, if anything was worth doing, it was worth doing right and well. And I've never forgot that, and sometimes I can't hold up my end of the bargain, and I've always tried to. I always tried to be a person not to be ashamed of what he was involved in. And I think that's kind of what David is getting across to Solomon here, this 20-year-old young man that's going to take his father's seat on the throne. And he also says, to show thyself a man. And this was necessary for Solomon because being a young man, you know, he was still not considered, he was still really not considered a grown man until he was 30 years of age, like Christ was when Christ came. But David is admonishing him to be an Ish of peace. An Ish is a strong man or one of renown. And so this was what David was telling him, to always act like a man. Well, regardless of age, be a man of peace, if possible. Then he says in verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. So you could see that David is well acquainted with the charges that God has made to others. And the charge that was written in Scripture four times already, or three at least, yeah, basically four times already. So he says, keep the charge, or keep your calling, to walk in God's ways. And this walk there is 32:12, you know, and there's two different walks when you look in the Strong's, and of course, 1980 in the Hebrew, is, I've been through this before, is Halak. And that's generally speaking the way that man walks, or the way he goes. That's his manner of life. And you know, it can be quite different from God's ways, or God's manner of life, or God's call for direction. You know, if we follow God's direction, then we're following God's walk, or his manner of life. And this is 32:12. And you know, 1980 is Halak in the Hebrew. And 32:12 is Yalak. And it's basically, it's the walk in God's direction, the way that God wishes man to go. And so we realize and understand that the reason the two walks are there is because of the sinfulness of man, and of course being born in a sinful state, we sometimes follow the direction of the old man. But, you know, we're talking about as God leads, we need to follow his way. And we'll always be on the right path. Talking about the Lord Jehovah. And so the calling, you know, is the rest of verse 3, where it talks about to keep his statutes, commandments, judgment, testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. They did not want that to vary from person to person to person. Whoever was called to do the leading here and doing the judging, and of course Solomon asked for God's judgment this was one of the things that he asked God for, was understanding and judgment. And certainly he didn't want Solomon to vary from that. Verse 4. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their ways to walk before me in truth with all their hearts and all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, or said David, a man on the throne of Israel. So whoever the man on the throne of Israel be, if he'll follow these things and take care of business here, then certainly God has made the promise to be with him. And that was just not so with Saul, because Saul did not get this charge from God, because Saul was the people's choice. And so this was what David heard from God when he was king. He's passing it on to his son. And he's telling Solomon, listen and learn. You've got to listen. You've got to learn. This is life's journey. Each of us is on a life's journey. And that journey needs to have meaning. It needs to have purpose. And without God, it has neither meaning or purpose. You know, we have failed to understand what we're here for. And he says, God not only said he'd be with them, but that these children were always before God. They were always in his view. He had chosen them, and certainly they were in his view. And so we get down to verse 10. So we're going to go from verse 4 down to verse 10, because here again there was some people that got they got their self taken care of, because this was the last thing that David was telling Solomon, to take care of some of these people. And so we get down to verse 10. And he says, so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. So slept there. There's a thing in verse 10 there. It says, see note on Deuteronomy 31:16, and it talks about sleeping in death, awaiting resurrection. And that is a wonderful thing that, you know, we speak about those that believe, or that God was with, have a resurrection time. And so they're sleeping in death, awaiting resurrection. You know, it's just like when we go to bed and we go to sleep, we have no knowledge of time passing unless, you know, we're stirred. And of course in death you're not stirred, but only in resurrection. And so that he was buried, or he was entombed with his fathers in Jerusalem. You know, when you go to Acts 2, and Peter was speaking there after the Holy Spirit had come upon these people, and he talked about this Jesus raised from the dead after 3 days, raised from the dead, that said David wasn't raised from the dead because, you know, we've got his tomb. It's here with us. It's here now. And so he hasn't gotten that call yet. So we realize in verse 11, it said that the days of David's reign over Israel was 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. And this was from 960 B.C. to 920 B.C. So he was 7 years in Hebron, and the last 33 years, of course, was in Jerusalem. And we get to verse 12. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. So Solomon, after the death of his father, he sat upon the throne of his father. And so we realize that Solomon was born in 940 B.C. because he said he was 20 at the time of his father's death. And so it was right in the middle of his reign there. And so that is another point or a period in time that we can look at and see that it was pretty, very accurate. And we also realize that Solomon was not David's firstborn, but Adonijah was David's firstborn, but it wasn't God's will that Adonijah get the throne. It was God's will that Solomon would get the throne. And David knew that. David understood that. And so it said that Solomon's kingdom was established greatly. And I got a footnote here where it said that Solomon, in other places, said Solomon reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years, and he was buried with his father. And it's not right here where we're looking at now. And I wanted to go to 1 Kings 3 and go over part of 1 Kings 3, but I've used up all my time and we're running out of time, and there's would have been going for about 52 minutes, so there's no point in starting this for just a minute. But I wanted to go to 1 Kings 3 and take up the first 14 verses. The 1 Kings 3 next, because it's there's quite a little bit of stuff there that we need to look at and to ponder over. But this kind of gives you a running picture, if you will, of what was going on after we've got through the first part of 1 Samuel. And so we've gone through Saul and we've gone through David. Now we're going into Solomon. And Solomon is going to reign for 40 years. And it's kind of a tumultuous era too. And there's lots of things going on there that seems to be not very good reading, but nevertheless, during this time, it was a time of great turmoil and change. And I guess when we look and we see the earth, it's kind of fixed in its ways. It's not going to change a whole lot. And sometimes we look at it now and say, well, you know, it's worse now than it's ever been, and I'm not so sure. Not so sure that's really true. Because as long as Satan has control, as long as he has dominion, these things are going to happen. It's only going to be when the king comes back and Satan is going to be taken care of for 1,000 years, is any type of any peace going to be had. And so we look at things today and we say, oh, how can things be going the way they are? You know, it was kind of localized back then, but I think now, with the influx of all the electronic media and everything that we have now, we kind of get a ringside seat to these things, although what we're reading here was pretty much for a while localized, that, you know, there was a it was written down, and it was written for a purpose. And so we need to understand that there is a purpose to all this. And so we'll pick up with 1 Kings 3 in our next study, God willing, and we'll go from there. So I wanted to go back over this again to refresh our minds again, that it seems like that whenever a name change took place or a promise took place, you know, God, he made himself known. And certainly with these charges and with these men, they was going to have part and parcel of God's plan and purpose for the ages. Certainly, they needed to understand the charge, and we need to keep that in mind as we go along, that these things were made and that God's not going to go back on his word. So thank you for being with me, and we'll continue on next week if God's willing. Bow with me and we'll close. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for this time that you've allowed us on this media. And Lord, for these that come this way, to open a portion of your word. And give us understanding. And give us guidance. And give us realization that when you choose someone to do a job, you give them the means to do it. And for us to realize in this day and age that we have been chosen and that we're going to get something to do according to the plan and purpose of God through Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we need to be prepared. We need to have knowledge and understanding of it. Your work and your words. And we thank you for this time that you've given to us today. Lord, we pray that each and every one may come away saying that they were glad to be here. Because it is important, or it wouldn't be in your word. Thank you again for eyes to understand, ears to hear, mind and heart, to give us discernment, understanding. Lord, to do that you'd have us to do. And to realize and understand that all of us have a plan and purpose. Lord, that we might be found doing that in our own place where we are. And that the manner of life that we have before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ might be that. It would be pleasing to Him. Guide and direct us in that way. Give us this understanding. Continue in your love and your grace. And Father, for those that are in need, we just ask on their behalf that you would grant them that they need to continue on, if it be thy will. And be with those that could not be with us tonight for space and distance or whatever the cause might be. Thank you again for your great gift of your Son that you sent when we were not worthy. We're still not worthy. But Lord, we realize that your great love supersedes all things. Watch over us and be with us. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.